So good morning, everyone, and welcome again to Daily Devotions. My name is Lloyd, and I'm really grateful to be sharing the conversation with you this morning. And I wanted to share a particular verse with you that I read during my personal quiet time recently, which actually tied into the Salt and Light series that we were doing at Father's House Jeffreys Bay, which is really cool. And this whole series was devoted to the idea of making a kingdom difference in the world around us as we live as salt and light, these two analogies that Jesus uses. And we ended the series, that's in Matthew chapter 5, and we ended the series last week by asking a few key questions. One of them being, what would the world look like? What would our lives look like if we lived according to the biblical principle of consideration for the things of God and for others, based on this Philippians 2 verse 4 scripture that says everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. It's this big idea of humility, right, playing a role there in what motivates us to live our lives in this way. And as Pastor Vince shared on Sunday so wonderfully here in North End, you know, what place do we come from spiritually? What is the heart behind why we do things? And this whole series of Salt and Light that we did was really built on this idea of having a positive impact in the world in an authentic way, living from a place of grace and acceptance in Christ, and then doing something with this precious gift. Not just holding it, but sharing it, doing something, making a difference, having an impact in the world around us from this precious gift of salvation. And this morning, I wanted to touch on that idea again and share scripture with you that has to do with the same concept. It seems like this theme keeps coming up no matter where I look. And if we consider just for a moment, you know, where we are as society right now, globally, we have a significant role to play as the church. I really feel that we have a lot to contribute. And, you know, there's a lot of confusion and uncertainty out there regarding a whole variety of topics. And I think we should recognize as the church that we do have a voice. We have a role to play in the world. We have some influencing that we can do around us by shining the truth of God's word into society. Not in a harsh or judgmental way, but in a Christ-like authenticity. You know, I really feel, and I've, you know, had this sense strongly in my heart recently that we should be front and center as the church, pointing people towards Jesus, who we know is the answer to humanity, right? And we as the church, as a team, I guess, we have to recognize that there's some work to do. There's an assignment that we have in revealing God's merciful heart for humanity, especially in this season. And so I guess in light of making a difference, this kind of whole conversation that we've been speaking about and getting in on this precious privilege that we have to partner with God in bringing heaven on earth, let's read this verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 that gives us some really clear guidance on what motivates us to do that. What is the motivating factors that drive our enthusiasm for taking part in what God is calling us to do? In other words, you know, what are these things that produce in us this willingness to participate? Why is that important? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verses 1 to 3. And just kind of the context of this verse is that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church like he does with most of his Old Testament letters. And he's encouraging them on a few topics. He was recently imprisoned, wasn't able to go there. So he wrote them this letter to encourage them on one or two topics as it relates to their faith. So this is what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. It says, "To the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace." He always opens with this kind of opening salutation or kind of greeting. He then says in verse 2, "We always thank God for all of you, making mention of you constantly in our prayers. We recall in the presence of God, of our God and Father, three things: your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full assurance." That's such an amazing passage for so many reasons, and we could spend a lot of time unpacking each of those different scriptures or different verses. But I want to focus on verse 3 for the purpose of our conversation this morning, where he says, "Your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus." And if we take each of those separately for just a moment, you know, work produced by love, work is produced by a variety of different sources, isn't it? You know, some people work motivated by the desire to be wealthy. Others work from a place of seeking to fulfill their own desires, whether that's recognition or to prove a point, or sometimes, if we're honest, even pride. But scripture tells us here that the church in Thessalonians was motivated from a place of faith. Faith is what motivated their work. And if we read this scripture in conjunction with James chapter 2, where he says, I will show you my faith by his works, then it makes sense, right? It makes sense that the result of having a genuine Christ-forming faith in you is that it produces works in you. Not to get saved, but because you are saved. Amen. And what a great motivator to make a contribution to the world. We are moved from a place of faith in God and from a place of faith in his plans for humanity. Secondly, labor motivated by love. Again, it's another way of saying this church did something. It contributed something. There was an effort. There was some work that was done. And man, how amazing is it to think that the world around us, you know, how would that look like? What would it look like if people responded from a place of love and contributed something positive and didn't react from a place of fear and contribute something negative? What would the world look like? What would our organizations, what would our leadership look like if everyone responded from a place of love and brought something positive and didn't react from a place of fear and bring something negative? And we know what love is, right? 1 Corinthians 13, that really famous passage. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It's not boastful or arrogant. It's not rude or self-seeking. The next time you're feeling a little demotivated, or perhaps you want to encourage someone that you know is going through a bit of a slump in some way in their faith, you know, to make a faithful kingdom difference, just think for a second how much love the Father has lavished upon us and how that motivates us to do his work in the world from that place of love. And then lastly, that verse ends by saying, our endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus. And man, if there was ever a time that we had to endure as believers, it was last year, wasn't it? It wasn't easy. It was extremely difficult, if we're honest, at times, you know, being so keen and so desperate to gather amongst a whole variety of other things. But look at the hope that we have in Christ. Look at the confidence that we can find from these scriptures. You know, Jesus wasn't going anywhere during that time, and he never will. He is faithful to fulfill that which he has promised. And when we read Numbers 23, verse 19, which says, God is not a man that he might lie, or son of man that he might change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And obviously the implied answer is that of course he does. Of course he speaks and he acts. And of course God promises and fulfills. He is faithful to his word. And so friends, may we be inspired this morning that we don't have to lose hope. We don't have to lose hope. The one who promised us is greater than our doubts. He's greater than our doubts. And from that place of confidence in him, may we make the most of every opportunity and bring God praise as we live out our faith effectively in the world. And as we work from a place of faith, labor from a place of love, and endure from a place inspired by hope. So I hope that encourages us this morning as we reflected for a moment together on scripture. Let's take a moment to pray, and then I'll send us off for the rest of our day. Father, we thank you that we get to live out this faith because of what you did for us, Jesus, on the cross. You came to give us life and life in all its fullness. And it's for freedom that you came to set us free. So would you inspire us this morning? Would you convict us and even correct us by your spirit to make the most of every opportunity that comes our way and make a difference in the world by shining the light of the gospel, of the grace of Jesus into every area. Teach us to work. Teach us to labor, Father. Teach us to endure, inspired from a place of faith, love, and hope, knowing that it's all because of your great love in the first place that makes us possible. And Jesus, we just honor you for your presence that's in our lives, and we thank you that you are for us. And in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.